Welcome to another podcast of the White Collar Crimes Podcast. I am Ryan Horn, your host, and thrilled to have you aboard as always. You know, last episode, we did an unusual episode, if you will. It was one subject we haven't covered before. We hadn't covered really any white collar scandals involving the fishing industry. And this one's going to be similar to that too, in that I don't think we've done any previous episodes on any white collar crimes and scandals in the ice cream industry. Now, I will say we did in the early days of this podcast on the Peanut Butter Corporation of America, and some of their peanut byproducts were used in the making of ice cream, and that was about the closest I'd say we've come to really ice cream being a topic on this show. But it is going to be on this one, and you're going to hear how corporate greed and negligence can, unfortunately, even with involving ice cream, can sometimes turn deadly. And you'll hear how that is exactly what happened with the Texas ice cream company Bluebell. And you're going to get to find out about it because one of our sponsor, we're glad to have The Weekend Angler. Check out his YouTube channel, The Weekend Angler. All kinds of cool fish and tips. And like I said, as I record this, it's getting nearer to good fishing season in my neck of the woods. So looking forward to doing some of that myself. But I'm looking forward also to bringing this story to you because, again, it's an unusual story. Now, I believe there might be, just like some of the others we've done, there may be an American Greed episode on it, but and there's, you know, been some stories on it. It was fairly recently, so it's not like an old story, so that you can probably find a lot out of it. Certainly you can if you want to search this case a little bit more on the web. But Bluebell, if you've ever had it before, it's not just a Texas-based company. I mean, that's where the company's based out of, but they're pretty far spread out. I would say they have most of the nation covered as far as nationwide distribution. I know I'm here in Illinois, and they do have it up in my area. I have had it before. It's been quite a while, but they are a very wildly popular ice cream company down in that area, and you'll see that despite some of the scandals and things they had going, their support did not waver. In fact, they are still going today. And as I said, it's a company that headquarters is located, I believe, in South Texas. And like I said, wildly popular in that area. And apparently they have quite a bit of flavors. A lot of ice cream companies keep it really simple. But Bluebell was kind of known, apparently, for having a wide range of flavors. And you know, some of them get pretty creative. I think if you're a Gen Xer like me and older, you probably had very simple, the basic chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry growing up. But ice cream's gotten really creative over time. There's a lady that wife and I go to church with that she turned us on to Kit Kat ice cream. They sell it primarily in Dollar General stores, which if you live in the South or the Midwest, there's one probably about every quarter of a mile from where you're at. But they do sell it there. And then, you know, growing up, I could have never fathomed. I ate a lot of Kit Kats as a kid, but I never would have fathomed they'd make it into an ice cream. But that's what they're doing now with, you know, the technology and the creativity that we have today. People are doing all kinds of things like that. And a lot of cool flavors out there. And apparently that's what Bluebell was kind of known for too. Now, eventually, as I said, they extended their distribution to many parts in the U.S. Seemed like things couldn't be going any better. They're a popular company in Texas. They're expanding nationwide. Got a lot of well-loved flavors. Pretty much anything you would want if you owned an ice cream company. But how many times do we see this where things seemingly start off okay and they take a wrong turn? And as you'll see in a little bit, that is what happened with Bluebell. Obviously, that's why I'm doing this podcast. But their trouble really started, and the good things kind of came to a halt in 2015 when there was a series of recalls that kind of threatened to derail the company. And anytime a recall comes out, I think really, and I don't run a business or a corporation, but I think if I did, it'd be important to get out in front of it as soon as possible. Get statements out there, take control, take ownership of it, and get it under control, and, you know, limit the damage, the publicity damage you get from it, as quickly as possible. And that's, again, how I would handle it, but, you know, we'll see. It's not always the case, and sometimes some things get hidden or swept under the rug, or sometimes, as you'll see too, sometimes supporters of a business, if they've been a loyal fan for a lot of years, they may not want to believe something's gone wrong. But these recalls would kind of ramp up in numbers over time, and so much to the point that they had to pretty much force to shut down production. And this threatened a lot of jobs because Blue Bell was a huge employer in the Texas area, and probably even other jobs in other parts of countries where they distributed even were hinging on them staying afloat and keeping it going. So having to shut down production not only left a lot of people in these areas without their favorite ice cream, it also threatened a lot of people's jobs. Now, what brought about these recalls? Well, it was a bacterial outbreak that was causing infections and causing a lot of stomach illnesses with fever, vomiting, diarrhea, and other illnesses. Now, I will say about 4.5 years ago, I suffered from some E. coli poisoning, and that's one of the closest times I think I've ever been to death, folks. Bacterial infections are nothing to play with, and they were not able, even through contact tracing, the Department of Health was never able to really pinpoint down where I had possibly been poisoned, but I can assure you it was pure hell on earth for about a good 4 or 5 days at least. And so, like I said, bacterial infections are nothing to fool with, and when they get in your ice cream, people can turn violently sick, and that is what can happen. And sometimes, in extreme cases, these bacterial illnesses can lead to death. Now, this outbreak was believed to have started in their Oklahoma plant, which, you know, is a neighboring state of Texas. But it was so bad, though, it wasn't just people getting sick. About 3 out of the early 5 cases or so were reported to have resulted in death. Now, we have covered some cases on here before where it causes outbreaks like this, and due to bacteria or whatever, people get sick and they end up being in the hospital for a while, and in extreme cases, death. Well, this is one of those extreme cases. We saw that with the Peanut Butter Corporation of America, and you see it in this case. So sadly, some tainted ice cream did lead to a few deaths in this case. Now, as the recalls and illnesses and some deaths ensued from this, the company really had no choice but to shut down everywhere, and the shelves everywhere in Texas were pretty much empty. But as you can see, if I believe it's on the American Greed episode or wherever this was covered, but as you can see here, if you just, want to research the case even, they still had a lot of loyal supporters in Texas at the time. Now, at this point, keep in mind, it's not gone to court, as you'll see will happen in a little bit. So a lot of the truth maybe not coming out yet. A lot of people may think that they're just getting a bad rap, that they're being framed, or, it's a misdiagnosis, whatever. A lot of things people could think. But a lot of people, they wanted their Blue Bell back. They wanted it back on the shelves. And they really remained loyal, and the local communities down there really rallied around Blue Bell ice cream. They've been a staple of that area for a long time. And like I said, people get used to something. They like it. They don't want it gone or taken away. So they had their support from people regardless of a big scandal that was brewing right here in the early stages, and huge PR nightmare for these folks in the making right there was underway. But they still had their support. So they had to continue to try to limit the damage as much as they can through, PR relations and things like that. Now, they would rally and initiate what they called a 5-point plan they released to the public to restore and bring the ice cream back. And originally, before too much information got out there, that's probably all people wanted. A lot of people may not even have been in the early stages at this, aware that there had already been a few deaths from this bacterial outbreak involved with the ice cream. So, bottom line, people just want to get life back to normal. They like their ice cream, and they want to get back to it. I know I enjoy a good ice cream quite frequently, so I can understand that. But a lot of times, you don't always have time right away when a case like this breaks out to dig into the surface and find out more things. And that's why this podcast is important, because, folks, I'll do that for you. I'll break down the information on these cases and see what went on in the behind-the-scenes stuff, the things that were hidden and concealed and eventually made public, and do that for you. And so that's why it's important to continue to tune into this podcast, where I can bring you stories like this. And I would recommend, if you could, please subscribe to us. And if you're a subscriber, you can get extra episodes, access to them, other episodes that aren't aired to the average listener on this podcast. And as I always say, too, please follow us on Apple, Google Podcasts, wherever you're hearing us at, Spotify, please follow us. Give us that good 5-star rating. Send out the links. Help us grow. Follow the Facebook page. Share the links to the new podcast. Help us get people out there interested, because I know a lot of people out there want to know more about these types of crimes of corruption among the rich and elite, and they're just not told this by the media. That's where this podcast comes in, and that's where I need you to help me continue to get that out. So much appreciated if you're helping us do those things. So they're doing some PR work, getting things back on track, so everything's all good, right? Well, not exactly. The case caught the eye of the U.S. Justice Department, and the question all came up, as it always does in situations like this: when did Bluebell know the contamination existed, and what did they do about it? And that's the case so many times in these corruption cases, these white-collar crime cases. It's what did they know and when did they know it? And those are the two questions that arise here with Bluebell, and that was the two questions that justice officials had concerning this company. So the question came up, did Bluebell know the contamination existed? Well, an investigation did determine Bluebell knew and did not in time do anything to really step up and stop it. Now, on October 22, 2020, the Bluebell CEO, Paul Kruse, was indicted on 7 counts of conspiracy and wire fraud and what the officials believed was an imminent cover-up. So now we've gone from just a PR nightmare to some actual criminal charges. We've got 7 charges rolled out in an indictment here. So now it's gotten a lot more serious than just a bad PR move, which, as it should, you've got deaths involved here. This is just not something where people got a little bit sick, as we see so many times with so many different food products, that it's not uncommon. I wouldn't be doing a story on one, most likely, if just a handful of people got sick. It's a little different here, folks, because you had people in this one that died, and the Justice Department obviously was going to take that very seriously. So it's progressed from just a little bit of bad PR, having to shut down production, take their product off a shelf. Now the CEO is being indicted on criminal charges, federal criminal charges. So he's facing 7 charges, as I mentioned. So he was probably brought to justice and he's spending the rest of his life in prison. After all, that's what happened to Stuart Parnell in the Peanut Corporation of America case, right? And I'd recommend going back and hearing that one if you're a new one. It's in the early days of this podcast, but it's a good case of what can happen when corporate corruption leads to death. But no, not exactly. His first trial ended in a mistrial. Supposedly, I believe it was just one juror holding everything up. And that is the way the system works in most states, folks, and for sure with the feds. You've got to have that unanimous verdict among jurors, and you can have one juror a lot of times that can hold everything up. And when that happens, the judge has no choice most of the time but declare it a mistrial. Now the state prosecutor, or in this case the federal prosecutor, has really only 2 choices. They can let it go and just count that as a loss and lesson learned, or they can file new charges again and try it under a different approach or a different angle. It's not like an acquittal. You know, if he would have been acquitted of this, it can never be filed against him because of the double jeopardy protection in the U.S. Constitution. But that wasn't what happened. You just had a hung jury, couldn't decide on a verdict unanimously. But before the retrial began, the feds actually reached a deal with Kruse. And for his guilty plea, he received only a misdemeanor conviction and a $100,000 fine, which a multi-million dollar company easily, like Bluebell, I'm sure he was well able to afford that. And as far as a misdemeanor conviction, some of you out here listening might have one. You maybe have a DUI on your conviction, or maybe got caught with a little weed, THC, and might have gotten in a bar fight and just a simple battery. Your conviction there is the same as this guy's here, who, through his corporate greed and negligence, ultimately led to some people's deaths in this. And to walk away that with a misdemeanor and probably a really payable fine, I mean, $100,000 for me would devastate me, for pretty much would be a death blow to me. But to somebody like that, most likely it's not. And that's what we always talk about on this podcast is, even if they do pay the fines and restitutions, most of the time it's in a really manageable manner. They usually don't get hit with something that's going to hurt. And a lot of people do deal with that. You know, I work as a probation officer and I deal with a lot of clients. They struggle to pay their fines and fees. And it's tough for them. But somebody like this, even a $100,000 fine is most likely not going to make that much of a dent in their life. So again, not bad for somebody who was alleged to have covered up contaminated products, which caused some sickness and some deaths. Now, this deal helped him avoid prison and mostly removed him and Bluebell from liability. Now, compare his sentence to that of, like I said, Stuart Parnell, Peanut Corporation of America, who ended up doing pretty much the rest of his life in prison. And it's a very similar case in a lot of ways. They knew about the contamination, sent the products out anyway, resulted in some sickness and a few deaths. Same thing there. The only difference is Parnell is going to spend the rest of his life in prison, and Cruz, I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly, he got a misdemeanor conviction and a $100,000 fine. So I don't know if it came down to having better representation. I know maybe after the first case resulting in a hung jury, maybe the government didn't want to gamble on another trial, so they offered him a sweetheart deal just to get the conviction and some type of wrongdoing and closure. I don't know. Most likely one of those things probably played a role in it. But it's not always easy if you escape the criminal liability. As we always talk on here too, there's always the issue that you come up of the civil liability. And even though sometimes people may get off in criminal court, civil court can catch up to them because, as I always say on this show, the evidence level you must meet is much lower. Preponderance of evidence, which means more likely true than not, is the only level of proof you have to meet. And it's not like a criminal trial where it has to be proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Here, if you can meet that somewhat barely over minimum level of threshold, you've got a good chance to win your case. And in criminal cases where you're looking at losing your freedom, in this case, a civil case, it's just monetary judgments. That's the punishment in these type of cases. But many times, as I've said on this podcast, that's the only way some of these victims and their families are able to get any kind of compensation or justice is in civil court. And it did cost them dearly, most likely several millions in civil lawsuits and settlements. But again, not enough to be put out of business, because as far as I know, Bluebell is still going and in business. Now, by taking this plea, obviously, he avoided any time in prison. But again, I have to wonder maybe how good his counsel was compared to, say, Stuart Parnell's or some of the other people that we've covered on cases on here. And that's a threat question I would throw out there to you. Does money buy justice? Because many times it seems to. And most of you out there, if you do something pretty negligent, if you're just a common working or middle class stiff, and you do something negligent that causes the deaths of three people, I promise you most of you would not get away with a misdemeanor and a fine. But that is what happened in this case, folks. And if there are ever any new developments or anything twists and turns or restarts in this case, we'll certainly keep you updated on it. But it is a sad case how sometimes maybe it is possible. Maybe sometimes money does buy a little justice. And sometimes people don't always, that are victimized in these cases, get compensated like they should. But as I said, we'll continue to keep these type of cases going and continue to spread the word on these. And even if a lot of other podcasts or news media or not, we will keep the focus on these types of crimes that do not always get the coverage that they deserve. But again, we're thankful for you tuning in for it. And as I always do, like to encourage you, please adopt your next best friend at your local shelter. And as I always say too, please watch out for your elderly family members especially, and just your friends in general. There's always con artists out there waiting to take advantage of you, or who knows, any one of us can be victimized in a case of corporate greed like this. The possibility is out there, and it certainly exists. So we have to, sadly, in this country these days, and pretty much all over the world, I'm sure, just keep our guard up for anything that could go wrong, because it's always a possibility out there. But glad you've stuck with us, and hope you'll continue to stick with us. And like I said, spread the word on this podcast and get the word out, because we enjoy doing it, and we're very glad you take the time each week to listen to us. So just remember, new episodes come out every Tuesday, depending on when you hear it, but the new ones always usually roll out on Tuesday. So always keep an eye out for that, and go back and check out some of our old ones. And like I said, become a subscriber and get access to some special ones. All kinds of opportunities out there that we're glad to have you aboard for. We're glad we had you aboard on this one. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. We will see you again next week. Take care. God bless everybody.